Good morning. We have indeed had a wonderful week of VBS, and so very thankful to Brother Gene for organizing that, and thankful to all those that participated in it, helped with it, and attended it. I appreciate all the adults that came every night for the adult class and stayed around to fellowship afterwards. It was a wonderful time. I really enjoyed the week. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 28 and 29. Now, I ask you this morning, are you a part, or have you received, or are you in God's wonderful kingdom? You know, if you are this morning in God's kingdom, if someone asks you what it means to be in God's kingdom, what would your answer be? If somebody said, why are you in the kingdom of God? How would you answer that question? Let's consider the answer to that question given by the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. He says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now that, therefore, we can back up, we can talk about the context leading up to this, that he contrasts what the Israelites went through as they received the law there at Mount Sinai, a very scary event, to say the least, the fiery mountain, the thundering, the smoke, God's voice. They were terrified compared to being a part of God's kingdom, which is far better, far greater. The writer of Hebrews is constantly making these types of comparisons throughout the book. So based in that, he says, let's think about this kingdom. But first, let's see in this, let's ask the question, what have we received? We have received a kingdom. We are not a nomadic people. We are not without a king. We are not without law. We are not without land. We are not without people. You know, so many people in our world today wander through this life aimlessly. They may have focus on their jobs. That only lasts till they retire. They may have focus on their children, but they grow up. They move on and have their own families. They may focus on success, but success ultimately leaves one empty unless it is followed by more success at some point in life. And ultimately, as life goes on through the deterioration of age, the type of worldly success that often satisfies people becomes harder and harder, if not very difficult to achieve. The aimlessness of so many people's lives is often not clearly manifested, is often not clearly shown until they near the end of life and realize that all the worldly and physical things that they had focused on no longer matter. As they look at death's door, they realize that none of that can help them now. Sam Walton was an incredibly successful man with an unbelievable amount of money. He was very focused. But all that didn't matter when bone cancer took his life. He came to a point in his life where Walmart and billions of dollars couldn't do a thing for him. And since we are all appointed to die, every one of us will come to that moment. Have we been aimlessly wandering? You know, even Ecclesiastes shows us Solomon, who had so much, and he came to that moment. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes seems to be written right there at the end of Solomon's life. Listen to what he says in chapter 2 and verses 4 through 11. He says, I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. Notice this recurring for myself, for myself, for myself. It's not for God. I made parks for myself and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, my many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Thus, I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon says, I did it all. I built things. I had everything I wanted. I had great riches. I had concubines. I had every pleasure given to me in this life. And he said, when I look back at it now, I just wasted it all. That's what that striving after wind. You ever try to catch wind? That's what he's talking about. Like chasing wind. You can't chase wind. It's a waste of time. He said, that's what my life's been. So many monuments to the man, so many buildings with his name, and yet it meant nothing. It was a momentary reward, he says, but it was all vanity. There was no profit in it under the sun. Solomon had these things, and so many people live these verses out in their lives every day. And many of those people are even sitting in church buildings this morning, and yet their lives are being wasted because they're not focused on the things that matter. They're focused on so many other things that just simply do not last. Those treasures that moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. The treasures of this life and not the treasures of heaven. God's kingdom is a focus that enables a person to change not just what he is here today, or not change what is just here today and gone tomorrow in this physical world, but it enables us to change those things that are eternal for us, and not only eternal for us, but enables us to help change what is eternal for others. Those things that go past that death's door, those things that go past that last breath we breathe in this life, makes such a profound difference in those moments. Now, I am proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. I believe I'm blessed to have been born in this country. I believe that it is the greatest nation this world has ever known. I believe that it is the greatest national force for good this world has ever known in history. Yet it pales to nothingness compared to the kingdom of God. And the U.S., if the Lord does not return, the U.S. at some point in the future will go into the dust of time as the Babylonians did, as the Assyrians did, as the Greeks did, as the Romans did. They will disappear into the sands of time. And yet God's kingdom will continue on. That is what we saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That's what Daniel told him all about, all these kingdoms that would stand, and yet there would be this great stone, right, that would fill the earth and crush all kingdoms underneath it. We receive that kingdom. And, you know, this is why in this verse we are told that this kingdom is unshakable. There's nothing that can shake the kingdom of God. There's nothing that can stop it. There's nothing that can end it. It is God's. We have received that, and it's built on solid ground in a quicksand world. And it is built upon the rock that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that reality provides all power and all authority, according to Matthew chapter 28, and verse 18, to our King, Jesus Christ. So we see the kingdom, but how shall we receive this kingdom and its King? Well, according to our text, we are to receive this kingdom with gratitude. He says, let us show gratitude. And this is more than a simple verbal thank you. Gratitude is best expressed in action. Oh, you can say thank you, and sometimes it's just something we say, right, when somebody does something. But a lot of times, you know, we want to show our thanks. We want to demonstrate to someone how much we appreciate what they have done, and we may buy them a gift. We may give them something. What we see in our text as well, that he says, let us show gratitude. And then he says, by which? And so because of our gratitude, we're going to do something. And that which we are to do is to offer God acceptable service in reverence and awe. I think today we struggle with the reverence and the awe. Sometimes we forget how great God is. And we forget that our times that we come before Him are to be serious matters. That we are becoming before the Creator of all the universe. But we are to serve Him in reverence and in awe. Give Him acceptable service, it says. But what is this service? Well, it comes from the Greek word latreo, and this is the word used in reference to the priest and his service in the worship of the tabernacle. It's not the proskuneo worship that we talk about when we talk about worship, the throwing the kiss. But it is latreo, that service in worship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 uses this word. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable or acceptable service to God. So this is saying the same thing that Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says. So when we think about what is acceptable service, Romans 12 and verse 1 has defined that for us. Acceptable to God is to give all of myself. A total living sacrifice, Paul says in Romans 12. See, a sacrifice is everything. That's the whole life, isn't it? When you sacrifice something, you take its life. It dies. And we are to be a living sacrifice, having given our whole life to Jesus Christ. Having given our whole life to God in gratitude. You know, I am thankful to God through giving all of my life in service to Him. And that's what we must, that must be the attitude in which we have. And see, that's going to be more than just worship times. It's going to be more than just morality. It's going to be more than just lip service that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's going to be more than just what I like. It's going to be more than just what I am comfortable doing. It's going to be more than just what is easy. While it may include all of those things and should include all of those things, it is far more than any one of them. You know, it is all of that and everything else in our lives. The incredible nature of God's gift to us demands such an action of thankfulness. How can we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus Christ did to make us the children of God and not want to give back because of that? Not want to give Him everything. He gave everything. It isn't like He gave us something small and asking a lot from us. He gave everything and asked very little from us. You know, it is a part of everyday action. Sometimes when we think about gratitude and what we give to God, we just think about what we put in the plate. And sometimes that's the easiest thing we do. It is easy to write a check. It is hard to serve God, to give all of my life to Him. And yet that's what we're called on to do in gratitude. Then our last question is, why should we receive the King in this way? Because He is our God. We look at this verse and we see that it says, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe for our God. See, He is our God. We have a special relationship with Him. Our theme this year, in our minds and on our hearts, being people of the Word. But look at what that text says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. He says, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts. And then this next part, and I will be their God and they will be my people. I want to be God's. I want to be a part of His people, and I think that you do too. But we must understand that that requires His laws and His commands to be in our lives, to be in our hearts and in our minds. And when the Bible tells us about hearts, Jesus says that everything we do comes from the heart. So we put God's commands in our hearts, and that's what comes forth in our lives. And we are His people. And He is our God. We have that special relationship. We belong to God in a wonderful relationship. A relationship that comes by knowing and obeying His commands. You know, this precious relationship is filled with blessings from a loving Father. Blessings too numerous for us to even begin to count or to even know. But wonderful blessings that come from a Father. Do you know this morning, if you do not wish to have such a relationship with a God that blesses His children, with a God that wants to be your God, then I must tell you the alternative to that. And that is the very end of the text. That God is a consuming fire. Paul tells us to behold the kindness and the severity of God. There's great kindness and love in God, but there's also a severity of justness in Him. That we must never forget. His holiness demands certain things. Demands certain things of us. You know, John the Baptist said that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. In the fire, there is immersion of judgment upon those that reject the other baptism, reject the baptism in which we can be saved through the Holy Spirit. To reject that baptism will bring only the baptism or the full immersion of fire and judgment, condemnation and judgment upon us. See, Jesus Christ came that we have a choice. Because the moment that each of you, you and myself, the moment we sinned, our future was out of our hands. I lost the ability to be able to control my destiny in any shape, fashion, or form. Because once I had sinned, I locked my path into one location, and that is to be lost. But God said, I want to give you another alternative to that. I want to give you one more chance. I want to give you an opportunity to get away from the mistakes that you have made and to come to Me. To be redeemed back to Me where I want you to be. So He gave me the choice to follow Jesus Christ. To receive His kingdom. You know, the writer of Hebrews stated here as we just read, that we receive a kingdom. Understand the tense in the Greek is the idea of not having received it one time, just one time. It is a continual receiving. We are continually receiving the kingdom of God. It is not something you just got at the moment of baptism and, you know, you're just kind of going along now. You are continually receiving this. A kingdom is a particular rule of law. We are continually growing, learning, in obeying better the law of that kingdom. We are receiving it more every day. We are giving ourselves more to its authority. We are continually receiving that which God puts in our minds and writes upon our hearts. We are receiving those truths that make us God's people and make us more and more like Him every day. So where are you right now? Are you in the kingdom of darkness? Or are you in the kingdom of God's dear Son? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it tells us that if you are not in Christ's kingdom, God wants to and will and can transfer you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And He will do that if you will allow Him to put His commands into your heart and your mind and to live those things out in your life. If you will give your life in thanksgiving to God and serve Him from that thanksgiving, then you will show Him the proper obedience. If you will constantly receive the kingdom and its rules, and its rule rather, then you will belong to the God of heaven. You will belong to the King. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you're not in that kingdom, we hope and pray that you'll make the decision to do that, to be part, to receive that kingdom, to come to Christ in obedience to His gospel, to take advantage of that opportunity that He provided by dying on the cross for you, dying on the cross for me, that you might take advantage of that alternative that God wanted you to have. For your path leads only one way without Jesus Christ. But with Him it leads to His kingdom. You can be a part of that kingdom. You can be a subject of that kingdom, a citizen of that kingdom, as Peter says, by believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins, saying, I'm not going to live the life of sin anymore, but I'm going to live as God writes on my heart and puts into my mind. I'm going to live like that. I'm going that direction, a direction toward God, toward receiving His kingdom every day of my life, to confess Him as the Son of God, greater than all others, and to be buried in baptism, to have those sins that have separated you from your God washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross. Rise up to walk a life in Him, in His kingdom, living for Him for all eternity. We hope and pray that you'll make that decision today if you have not. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you have received His kingdom, but maybe you haven't had the gratitude you should have. You haven't been living as you should in gratitude to God. You haven't been giving all of your life to Him. You've been focused on a lot of other things at God's expense. Focus on the one thing that matters. All the rest takes care of itself when we get that one right. Because everything about the Christian life, everything about being like Jesus Christ, everything about being about like God is going to make us good employers, good employees, good servants of the community, good whatever we're doing, we're going to be good people in that role. Because Christians are. Come back to God, focus on Him. Repent of the things that you have neglected. Know that He's faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you in any way, if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, we want to do that. Won't you let us as we stand and as we sing?